The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen, and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what is good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said at the start of Mass, Tom and Doug with us today for Mission Haiti Sunday. They will bring us up to date on the events in Haiti. And before they speak to us, we'll have a short video on our work in Mission Haiti. And the video is called Mission Haiti, The Struggle.
Hello, I am Mary Mathernally, Chair of the Mission Haiti Committee. Over the last decade or so, we have shown you films and presentations about the many projects of Hands Together that we support through Mission Haiti. What we haven't shown you, however, is Father Tom's struggle with his call from God to serve the poor of Haiti. Please listen now as he tells us how, with strength and determination, he continues his work despite all odds.
I'm now in a chapel of our volunteer house. This is by far my favorite place. Reason why I get up at 4:30 in the morning is because I'm almost possessive of this space and time. I need to be by myself. Downstairs right now, there are 20 young men and another 12 younger men, teenagers, street kids. In another hour, this place is going to be booming, noises. I get up about 4:30. I come down, and the night before, I make my little coffee, get it all ready. About 4:30, 4:15, 4:45, my coffee's ready. Get my little cup, and I sit here as I am now. This time is really important to me. Sometimes I come in here and I find myself speaking to the Lord, saying, "Lord, I can't get through another day." But every morning I say, "Lord, why am I here? I miss the days, Princeton, Lafayette, UPenn. I miss the football games in the autumn time, the excitement, the energy of the campus. I miss the young people in a critical time in their life. Here, I feel sometimes intimidated by even today. Yesterday, we had one teacher threaten the principal by a knife. I got to deal with that today. Another teacher threatened the principal. A gang is threatening to take over one of the schools and close it. A gang at the clinic is threatening to burn down the clinic. And even now, as I went down to get coffee, there are at least 20 people outside of the gate here just waiting for me to come out. But every day I come here, and every night, usually around 6 to 7 or 7 to 8, if I can, I come back here. Now, my night conversation is a little different than my morning conversation. My night conversation is, the day's over. You did help me out, didn't you, Lord? And sometimes it's one of asking forgiveness. One of the hardest things for me is to always love the poor. They're constantly pulling at me. That's what's happening now. More and more people are coming. More and more people are angry. More and more people are saying, I could do something for them. Yesterday, they literally attacked my truck. Not that they're do harm to me, but they want jobs, they want food, they want everything. Hey, Periton. And truthfully, I feel overwhelmed. The only way I can survive, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, is because of what's happening right now, because of this space and this time. I could not survive without my prayer time. Prayer time isn't a lot of, I don't think I pray any written prayers. Prayer time to me sometimes is just sharing my fears. Prayer time for me is saying, you gotta find someone else. Other prayer time, I say, Lord, thank you. Thanks for helping me, and thanks for giving me this experience. I say I don't want to stay here, but, and my head is telling me, get the heck out of here. But there is something keeping me here every day. And somehow it's tied into what's happening here. There is no question about it. If I went back to the United States, my prayer life would begin to go down. I wouldn't get up at 4:30. I won't be seeking out the stillness of this chapel. Sometimes I look up at the ceiling and see the names of people who have been here. Maureen Nielsen, young woman killed, shot to death. Someone was like a daughter to me. Rick Thorpe, Dave Kane. Then I think of the children and the teachers that have been killed. And then I think of those so-called bad guys. And my struggle is that they're not bad guys. And I get comfort because the Lord is saying, hey, look at them in a different way. Look at them the way I would look at them. The only thing's missing now is my dog. And a dog would come here and sit right here at my foot. And what I'm getting evidence now is that someone had it killed. Get back at me. But I miss my old pal that used to drink the holy water and shock people that were here. I miss that dog. But again, I would be totally reckless start today without being here first. So this is by far the most precious and special place for me in Haiti. It's my mountaintop. It's my little island. It's the place where I really experience my God. I leave here with my prayer that I will be able to do what the Lord wants of me. But maybe the gift is knowing that I need God in my life. So I just want to welcome you to this little chapel. And if you ever come to Haiti, I'll share a cup of coffee with you here in the chapel.
We filmed this over 12 years ago. Father Tom's rituals have not changed. There is a new dog, and there is a new chapel after the earthquake. But the intensity of Father Tom's conversations with God remains. What he has accomplished with faith and hard work and determination is remarkable. We have met the people Father Tom serves, the elderly, the families, the children. We have seen the unthinkable conditions in which they live. We know that there is little that most of us as Americans can do to change Haiti, but we believe that we can help Father Tom in his work. We are not in Father Tom's chapel at 4:30 in the morning, and we do not work side by side with him day in and day out. But we know that as long as he is living and beyond his leadership, Hands Together will continue to nourish, educate, heal, serve, and care for the poorest of the poor. Hands Together will give jobs to over 800 Haitians as teachers, cooks, drivers, dishwashers, mechanics, guards, healthcare workers, farmers, and more. Hands Together will assist desperate people with emergency aid. They will pay for burials, they will offer free medical care, and they will continue to be the only tuition-free school system in the country, teaching and feeding over 17,000 students each year. Hands Together will embrace and care for the marginalized elderly. They will continue to work with slum leaders, empowering them by teaching them skills and offering them hope. And Hands Together will maintain the soccer field that they built in the slum, which has become a place of peace and happiness for players and families. Our job is to share Father Tom's work with the world. Our job is to teach our children and our grandchildren to serve. Our job is to do what we can do to support this work while remembering Father Tom's teaching. We are not in this alone. There is a greater being who is walking hand in hand with Father Tom and with us. With Father Tom and with prayer, we will continue to work to offer hope, compassion, and a little bit of joy to those in Haiti. We applaud Father Tom and his staff, including Doug Campbell, Father Tom's other half, for the extraordinary and otherworldly work that they do. And we offer them our continued love and support. Please join us. We want to do this with you, hand in hand. For more information, go to our Facebook page and the websites.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Well, I just feel the need to introduce myself because that film certainly isn't going to talk about me at all. My name is Doug Campbell. You don't have to be a psychic to know that I'm the second-hand man in the operation. I'm not bitter or anything. I'm okay. I always think I'm funnier than other people think I am. Working in Haiti is tough. It's just so tough. I remember I was given an appeal. I think it was in St. Louis Diocese, and I just told him I didn't feel like going back there anymore. I've been doing it for 32 years, you know? And somebody after Mass came up to me and they said, well, why don't you stop doing that and do something that you like? Why don't you stop doing that and do something that you like? And so I really thought about it. I really thought about it, you know? And it was a great question. Great question from our culture. And I thought about the days when my three children, one was 16, and one was 14, and one was 13. Boy, I did not like being their father, man. Oh, I didn't like anything about it. But I didn't stop doing it. I didn't stop doing it because I have a mission to be a father in this world. And liking it sometimes has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. In today's gospel, it talks about Lazarus as the poor man. All about Lazarus. And you know the name of the poor man. His name is Lazarus. And the gospel is read, I'm taught by the Mother Teresa's nuns that Jesus is speaking to me. And most of the stories we hear in this world, no, I'm the rich man. You got to figure out if you're the rich man or Lazarus. That's something you got to figure out. But I know for sure I'm the rich man. I dine sumptuously every day. But every day I'm dying sumptuously, there's a poor man I walk by and I either see him or I don't. I watch out and say, hey, how you doing today? You okay? I know his name. His name is Lazarus. Right outside my office building in Chicopee, Mass., there's a whole little park of disenfranchised people. People that are looked down upon by the world. People that are not all together. People that are struggling with addiction. People are struggling with mental illness. And they're not normal people. They're not successful people. They don't dine sumptuously in purple robes like the rich man. The interesting thing is, in the gospel, the rich man is unnamed. But we all know that the rich man's always got a name up here. And so I leave my office, and I go across the street, and we get to know these people. And I know their names now. And so the great chasm that gets built between Lazarus and this rich man, the great chasm that prevents us from living the eternal life the way we want to, comes from our own actions. And at least I know that today that I know the name of many Lazaruses down in Haiti. And when I stand in front of you here in Holy Family, and I come as a spokesperson for those Lazaruses out there, and you respond, you and de facto are also getting to know these Lazaruses, so that great chasm can be shrunken, and there's a way across for all of us. And the extraordinary thing is that at the very end of everything, it's we who need Lazarus to make it to the other side. And so, we need you today. Listen, yeah, I don't like working in Haiti. No, I don't. I'm just like Tom. I like to go to the football games and see my kids play soccer in college and all these other things, and I miss a lot of that. And so my answer to the person when they asked me, hey, why don't you just stop doing that and do something that you like? Well, this was my response. And I don't know if it was any good. It was just a response that God gave me. And I looked at her and I said, well, I guess it's because I'm Catholic. I'm Catholic. I believe in life. I believe in Jesus Christ, who says 18 times in the gospel, if you want to know me, help the poor. I believe that whatever gifts and graces and talents that were given to me are not meant for me. They're meant for everybody else. And there's plenty of opportunity to share those gifts and graces. And we who are sitting here have the need of other people's gifts and talents. And we're all linked by the bond of love. We are all members of one another. And we don't exist for ourselves. We belong to a remarkable church. We belong to a remarkable church. We really, really do. A church full of tenderness and mercy. A church doing things that gets so overlooked all the time. So yes, we do things sometimes that involves suffering. It's right in the Beatitudes. Jesus is like, don't worry about suffering. Those who try to avoid suffering the most are the ones who end up suffering more than anybody else. So have some faith in the same God that took care of us yesterday is taking care of us today and will take care of us tomorrow. And we really love you here at Holy Family, and we need you, and we need you to know the Lazarus out there so that the chasm won't be built very, 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 very wide. That's enough out of me. I'll bring the star of the show up. His name is Father Tom Hagen. God bless you, and thanks a lot. God love you.
I was sitting there. It's the strangest feeling when I'm sitting there saying, I wish that guy would stop talking. But it was me on the video, so anyway, I couldn't do much. But Doug Campbell was 19 years old, being threatened to be kicked out of his fraternity house because of too much fooling around at the university. I invited him to go to Haiti. And his first project, along with those crazy fraternity brothers, was to help the lepers. And he's still with us, so Thank you, Doug. But when I first came here, I don't know how many years ago, invitation by Monsignor Connolly, I looked out at you and I said, my fellow missionaries, and more than ever, I believe with my whole heart, my whole soul, that each and every one of you is a missionary. The day you were born, the day you were baptized, Almighty God gave to each and every one of you a mission that's unique for you. You don't have to go off to Haiti. You don't have to go somewhere else. Our Lord wants you right where you are. And he has a mission for you. And that's really important. When I look at that video, I can't help but smile. I remember that. They spent 3 days there, and they were really professional camera people. They were really very, very serious. And they went to the clinics and the schools and all. So that after the third night, they invited me to the hotel to see raw footage. And I was just trying to be funny, and I said, geez, I'm looking at myself, I said, I'm really an ugly guy, aren't I? And they went, yes, yes. But I think we can do something about that. And I think in the film they did. I look a little better in that film. But I remember, I never thought sitting there and praying in that early hours morning that anything could get worse than it was then. But then we would have the earthquake where 320,000 people died. In that house alone, we would have 7 people die. Even that whole house was destroyed. Even the tabernacle, we never found it. And then we had so much violence and so many things over the years since then. But you know what? I believe more than ever that the same loving God that took care of us yesterday, he's taking care of us today, and he will take care of us tomorrow. And that is the message you got to take home with you today. Many of you have it far more difficult than I. It's hard raising families. It's hard living in our culture where there's so much bigotry and divisiveness and fragmentation. There's a lot of expectations put on our young people. It's much harder here, I think, than in Haiti. But you got to take each day and realize the Lord God took care of you yesterday, he'll take care of you today. And someone once said that a mission by itself is pure drudgery. A dream by itself is pure nonsense. But a dream and a mission together is the hope of the world. Your mission and my mission is to make this world better. And your mission and my mission is that every human being we meet walks away feeling a little better and a little happier. Because we look at that human being, we let them know that they're loved just as they are. Dear parents out there, go back to your homes today and look at your teenage children. Let them know they're loved just as they are. And you husbands and wives, before the day is over, look at one another and let them you know that you're loved just as you are. Your elderly parents, your neighbors, strangers on the street. And if we can do that, we can build a better world. And our dream is important. But how our dream is energized by a wonderful parish like Holy Family. You can't imagine how much you have done for us over the years. You have given us over $6 million. And with that, we were able to now give 750,000 people fresh drinking water every day. We have 23 operating schools. We have 6 clinics. We have 1,700 elderly. Sometimes we feed as many as 200,000 people. But to know what you've done more than anything else, you've made me be proud to be a Catholic. This parish makes me proud of my faith because you don't just turn in on yourselves. This Eucharist here, this Eucharist is not a spectacle, it's a way of life. And you live the Eucharist. And each time you look into another person's eyes and let them know they're loved, you're carrying out your mission. And so my fellow missionaries, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I especially thank Monsignor Connolly and this wonderful staff here. And we'll never, never forget you. You're the best. God love you, and thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
By the grace of God, I have been witness to the beauty and the power of the ministry of these disciples. In fact, I hope to take one of my sons with me next year. I'm here to ask you to open your hearts and give generously as a statement of love, as a statement of faith. These envelopes are in the pews, and if not, they're in the back or in the sides. And I ask you to consider carefully and give generously. Thank you.